Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this Tuesday. Mm. It's the 24th of November, from what I see on the calendar on the wall. And we.
Where's the.
No, I have it right here on my computer, actually.
I see.
My wallpaper,
I guess.
Yes,
wall.
That's right. There. Yeah. Cute, huh?
Yeah.
We welcome you to the program. We welcome you to the program, and we thank you very much for being a part of it, for stopping by.
Oh, Alan's here, kids.
Yeah.
Uncle Alan's here. Sit down.
Reminder, you can join us, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce the group to you this morning. WAMC's Alan Chartok is in the building.
Whoa.
Good morning, sir.
Whoa, whoa.
How are you?
Well, I'm fine.
Fine. What's your hat?
Oh, this hat is from
I can't see
Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh.
When I went down to the inauguration of Mary Grant.
Okay.
And it was a great inauguration indeed. And we had a lot of fun, and that is some campus, let me tell you.
Yeah, well, they got a lot going on. And
there's a lot of good music down there.
Nice cap.
Yeah,
cap,
thank you.
Cap.
You got to get a wizard's hat, you know?
The reason I had it is because I had a brown tie on, and I wanted a hat that went with the tie.
They match.
Sort of. Not. They match not?
No, they look great.
They're of the same tonal family.
Looks good on you, though.
Thank you, Ray. Let me sign your check.
Tonal family. Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain joins us as he does each and every Tuesday and whenever we beg.
Oh, good morning. Happy
good
to
morning.
Be here.
Thank you very much for being with us. And Ray Graff joins us once again. Good morning, Raymond.
Hi, boys and girls.
How are you?
Good.
Excellent.
Hi, boys and girls.
A reminder, you can join us at roundtable at WAMC.org, and we would love to hear from you and find out what's on your mind. Okay, so let's go to, we have stories sent out several last night, and then of course, there is always breaking news. I do want to, yes?
I held up my hand because I consider one of the most interesting things for our audience is the advisory about traveling now.
Yes.
You know, on planes and things. We're going to get to that?
We'll get to that.
Meaning we're not doing that right now.
Well, we can.
No, you're the boss.
Can I mention this one thing?
Yeah, of course.
Which is...
not incidental thing.
This one thing, which is the president of the United States is meeting with the president of France, and they are going to be having a joint conference and press conference at 11:30 this morning. And beginning at 11:19, NPR will find some way to screw us over, I'm sure, but...
Hey, no, wait a minute.
No, they do that. They do that on a regular basis.
Hey, cut it out.
The plan...
What? Cut what out?
The plan as of right now is for them to join us, have us join them at 11:19.
Okay.
And they will bring the coverage through. Now last time...
What could go wrong?
Well, last time... Alan, am I allowed to tell this negative story about NPR?
I encourage it.
Oh, come on.
Well, last time we were a little annoyed because we went to the live coverage in which they were going to cover the president of the United States and the press conference. And as the president started to take questions, they bailed out of it. And I thought, well, wasn't
NPR? In other words, there was the question. The president, he was taking questions,
which
and
was
for
the
some
point.
Strange reason, NPR decided to bail.
They bailed out, and they went to their correspondents, who say, "We don't know what the president will say on this." And we were just sitting in the newsroom saying, "Well, maybe we'd know if you left the mic open."
No. That was bad.
Was it a technical difficulty?
No, it was an editorial decision, Mike.
Okay. It wasn't like they couldn't afford the satellite time.
No, maybe
it's what we call stupid.
Well. Mm.
I mean, come on. We're affiliates, and we're proud of it.
We are, and we're very proud to be bringing this coverage to you beginning at 11:19 this morning.
But that doesn't mean we can't be critical, Uncle Ray.
No, you're right, sir.
Set your watch by it.
I'm right.
You join us and see how things go. All right. So let us go to this story by... by request and popular demand, and that is there. Look, it's Thanksgiving weekend. It's the busiest travel time of the year.
Absolutely.
And we are being told from several different sources that there is a worldwide travel alert. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you what that means. The U.S. State Department issued a worldwide travel alert on Monday, which is rare. This is rarely done, warning American travelers about the widespread threats posed by members of the Islamic State or copycat bombers. The alert said that there were increased terror threats from Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and ISIL, the term used by federal government for the Islamic State in Iraq, and the Levant, which has claimed responsibility for the Paris terrorist attack. The alert also said people unaffiliated with the groups may be inspired by recent terrorist attacks in France, Nigeria, Denmark, Turkey, and Mali. The alert comes as millions prepare to travel for the Thanksgiving holiday. Organizers of major events like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade bolster their security preparations. They're saying exercise particular caution during the holiday season and at holiday festivals or events.
And this is including domestic?
Yes. Absolutely, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade mentioned that.
It's
disconcerting. I mean, it's frightening.
It is. So, I don't know. Do you?
It's scary.
It is scary.
I mean, we know that they caught that guy thanks to somebody's perspicacity and insight. They're trying to blow up something in Times Square that time. Remember that?
Is that David Cassidy? What?
Cassidy. Yeah, thanks to somebody's David Cassidy. Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. Right.
Right. And that was a fortunate discovery because an alert bystander had pointed that suspicious behavior out to police. And that's what local authorities are even urging people to do that. Yesterday, the state police superintendent, Joe D'Amico, used the Albany International Airport as the backdrop to, tell people that they should be safe, but be patient. They will be safe, but they should be patient. There's going to be delays. Yeah. And the best thing to do is just calmly accept that and go to your holiday travel. But they have an app that they're urging
people to download. The governor is pushing it.
Yeah, right.
Governor
the governor
Andrew
and his
Cuomo.
State police superintendent, everybody is pushing that they download this app. You can get it on your Android or your Apple phone.
If you see something, say something app.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's the name. See something, say something. And you can use it to take a picture of something that might be suspicious and forward it to authorities.
Or you can get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
No, but think about it. But think about it.
That was what saved Times Square.
Exactly.
I mean, somebody did report a suspicious
activity. And how about on the woman in the shoe bomber?
Right.
Somebody trying to light their shoe.
Right.
That was highly unusual. So
well,
they saw something. They did something about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, these were a few years ago, these incidents we're talking about.
Yeah.
But they demonstrate that if something looks out of place, it's not incorrect in this environment to point it out to authorities. More often than not, it's nothing. But why risk it, right?
Does anybody have the app yet in this room?
No,
I haven't downloaded it yet.
I'm going to get it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
I mean, doesn't it potentially have the capability of completely clogging intelligence channels if too many people are putting spurious information out there?
Okay, wait a second now. What if you saw, Ray, as I did on the Metro North one time, a couple of bags sitting there at the end of the row with nobody around them? Is that suspicious?
I don't know.
Well, the conductor thought it was. He came in and said, "Who's all these? Who are these?" Very, very upset.
Yeah.
And somebody down the other end sheepishly said, "Mine." So, you know, I mean, that's what happens.
My niece called me last week. Her entire campus was shut down in New Haven
Is that Yale, you mean?
Because of a bag that was on a bus.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out to be a Subway bag that somebody had left on the bus, but they deemed it suspicious, and they
you mean a Subway sandwich bag?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness!
So they had to look at the sandwich.
So that it shut it down, but it shut down the campus. Yeah. It shut down the bus. It shut down half the city for 4 or 5 hours. Now,
is that
being overly cautious? Is that do we do that? And I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I was glad that obviously my niece was safe, but I don't, you know.
Hmm.
What do we do? What do you do in that situation?
Well, I think
because to your point is that yes, isn't that going to now be the case where everyone is going to be reporting a lot of things? And is that great or is that
I think it's
going
both.
To
it's
clog
great
everything?
If they catch something, but well, I mean, they'll have to vet all these. That's a lot of work.
Well, think about Times Square. Think about the guy lighting a shoe on the plane.
You know, all good examples of people who probably appropriately pointed that out, and authorities were able to prevent anything awful from happening. But there's some kind of balance between living your life and enjoying your life and being constantly in fear. And if this creates an atmosphere of being afraid of everything, I still think there'll be hundreds of thousands of people lining the streets of New York City to see the Thanksgiving Day Parade as they are every year. And it's supposed to be beautiful weather down there, too. And they'll have plenty of security around, and people should feel confident that there's no overt risk of just going on with their daily lives. And yet, if you see something suspicious, why not point it out? I mean, you make a good point, right? What if people start getting really paranoid about it and start bombarding this, authorities with information from this new app or making calls constantly, and it spreads them so thin that they're not even in a good position to react to true threats. And I don't know how you tell the difference. I mean, that's one of the realities.
I'm told if you call 911 with false information, that's a crime, right?
Well, but only if you do it on purpose, it's a crime.
Right. By intent.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, if you flood authorities with, routine information, there was a man standing by the gate and he looked suspicious. What does that mean? You know, I think that there has to be some reality check here, and people shouldn't be overly suspicious. But if you're frightened or think there's something out of sorts,
it all just goes to show that these people, a word I cannot use on the radio, the ISIS people and others, are having their way with us. I mean, there's no two ways about it. You know, you guys are discussing what happens if too many people do it, or if my instincts, which are not to go to Times Square under any circumstances ever, work out. Well, then they're winning.
See, I have I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad you said that, because everybody says that, let the terrorist win if you do that. I honestly don't believe that their goal is to limit our freedoms. Their goal is to kill us. This is not the goal. We're going to limit the West's freedoms. No, that is not it.
But they like terrifying people. That's what terrorism is.
It's killing
making people
more.
Yes, but when they're unable to do that, terrorism is a effective alternative, I guess.
No, I think I don't agree with Ray.
Well, that's fine.
I hate doing that.
No, that's great.
Because then I get abuse later on after the program.
I feel much more validated if you do not agree with me.
I can't imagine that. I completely agree with you, Ray, in that had they the opportunity, they would do things to inflict death on people in the West. Now, lacking that ability, this is...
But can you stop living your life?
You can't.
I mean, you I believe, Mike, if I'm telling tales out of school here, but you were at the Macy's Day Parade, what, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah.
I went last year. Like, you go. And you know that there is a possibility, right?
Anywhere you go, there's a possibility.
Right. But you go.
And you're going to get on an airplane in a couple of weeks and go someplace.
And you don't know, but you can't just stop living your life.
No, and these sort of annoying precautions are probably worth it just to add a layer of security. You know, you get into debates about how effective these layers of security are when you take your shoes off going through the airline. Rosemary Amaya is not here.
Praise God.
So we won't go on and on about it, but there are some inconveniences that are inflicted on passengers of airlines these days. And are they worth it? Do they, they did in one case and they have in a few other cases.
I think, look, I'm married to a woman who would fly anywhere, anytime. She just is a world traveler and she loves it. I, on the other hand, don't like to get on an airplane. Just too much out of control. On general principles.
No, you're not talking about terrorism, but just being up in a plane.
Once that door shuts, you've lost any ability to affect the outcome.
Unless you're the pilot.
Even though we all know, and somebody's going to write, I'll just cut you off at the pass, that it's much more dangerous to drive than to fly, and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, we know that they can have, that's why I don't agree with Ray. I think the whole idea is to terrorize the world, to make everybody understand that they can make us change our behavior and to do all of that. And they're doing it. And I think you're right. If they had an A-bomb and they could use it, a smart bomb or something, they would do it. They would wipe out as many people as they possibly could. But this is what they do. This is what terror is all about.
Let's take a break. We'll be back and get a couple letters, and then we'll go to the BBC News at the bottom of the hour. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Tuesday, the 24th of November. The as I was saying, the big story overnight, of course, was the was Turkey shooting down a Russian warplane near the Syrian border. President Vladimir Putin of Russia confirmed that an F-16 Turkish fighter jet brought down a Russian jet, but he said it had remained in Syrian airspace and never threatened Turkey's territory. This is obviously a developing story, and this happened overnight, our time. Turkish fighter jets on patrol near the Syrian border on Tuesday shot down the Russian warplane that Turkey said had violated its airspace, a long-feared escalation that could further strain relations between Russia and the West.
And NATO. Right, Raymond? Yeah. You point out this morning that Turkey is a member of NATO.
NATO announced that it would hold an emergency meeting on Tuesday in Brussels to discuss the episode.
Yeah.
You know, those Turks are tough. They are. And I think that, you know, they're great fighters, as we know. They have been. And they're not going to brook any nonsense. It's hard to believe they would go shoot down a Russian plane, of all things, without it being in their airspace.
Well, they said they gave it 10 warnings within 5 minutes.
Really?
They were very explicit about what would happen if they didn't leave the Turkish airspace. But Putin said it was like a stab in the back. And he was obviously quite angry when he made a public statement about it. And I guess the Syrian rebels, where the bailed out pilots were coming down in a parachute, shot and killed at least one of
terrible.
Parachuting pilots, and there was video of him hitting the ground and people standing around and cheering. It was pretty sad.
There's the backstory, as I understand it, is Turkey supports the Syrian rebels who are in that area. This is not ISIS. This is one of the groups trying to topple Assad. And Russia, of course, trying to prop up Assad.
Interesting. Right.
So there's that backstory there. And it's not the first time Russia has been alleged to go through Turkish airspace.
It is not the first time. But it reminds me a little bit of baseball. You know, like when somebody throws it at a batter's head, a pitcher does, and then six innings later, somebody gets even with them, you know, for having done it. So it may have been for past insults, and we don't know what the relationship between the United States and Turkey is. There've got to be conversations on this kind of thing, don't you think?
Well, there'll be a NATO meeting today, but the whole problem. This is the whole problem with what's going on. We have France, U.S., Russia, all of these groups flying sorties into Syria. And there's not much coordination. And I think that the U.S. and Russia were going to try to work this out.
Right, right. Was that even before today's events? Was that even a remote possibility of working out, in your opinion, that the U.S. would be able to sort of coordinate its attacks on ISIS with Russia and its attacks on ISIS, and they wouldn't be going after the non-ISIS Syrian, civilians who are against Assad, and the whole thing seemed very fragile anyway. This may scuttle it completely.
Well, you know, Putin is a bit of a bully.
No.
And here you have an example of somebody doing unto him. So it'll be interesting to see.
Right.
What
will be
is.
The later inning?
Pushback will
back.
Be. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has to complicate things a whole lot more. That was already very complicated and tenuous. So it's not a good development.
No.
Do we have World War III here?
No.
I mean, is this all of this between ISIS and Syria and the Middle East and Russia and the U.S., is this the beginning?
Well, Nostradamus said it was.
Did he? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize.
I think so.
Well, it's certainly a lot more than the Archduke Ferdinand being shot, and that kicked off the First World War.
Sure. You bet.
Yeah.
Alan, you remember that, right?
I do.
Yes.
I was born in 1941.
Were you?
My memory extended to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What, Joe is holding his hands over his ears.
Actually, I was just holding my face up. let's go to a couple of letters, and then we'll go to a break.
Okay.
Press the reset button, and we'll take some new...
Vicky says, the emergency NATO meetings will be held in Brussels? Really?
With a lot of security, no doubt.
Okay. And... And Cody says, good morning, panel. The President and Secretary of State's calm and level-headed response and rhetoric to recent events is so refreshing and welcome, in stark contrast to the bellicose and hawkish language being used by the right's presidential candidates, which is the same speech used to get us into Iraq. Why does America have to police the world? Cody from Greenfield said that. And Margaret said, I'm going to read this in advance a little bit. Okay. Assad, the Russians, the Turks, U.S. business all have agendas. We need truth in America. The assassinations that rocked America in the 1960s still have effects on our country, and not so good. What? You look perplexed.
No.
Okay. All right. Jade says, you folks have gone and drunk the Kool-Aid. Please, Ray, they do not want to kill us. They want us out of the Middle East. Look at what we have done there. And then he goes on to say that more than that. So
let's agree to disagree. Yeah, they want us out of the Middle East, but they'd also like to kill us.
It sounds reasonable. And Vinny says, completely disagree with Alan here. Terror is our word for the tactics which ISIS is using to combat the West. These attacks are nothing more than guerrilla warfare, and they are and all they are capable of against a power like us. Terror is the word Western governments use to manipulate our opinions and justify their actions, both on the battlefield and at home. John says, John apologized because remember when Joe caught me about to read a dirty word the guy had written in the letter?
What was the word?
It was having to I'm not going to say what the word was.
I know, but
just think Richard. Okay, John. Three guys put their heads on the table. Okay. So John says, sorry, I assumed you would edit that for radio. What, you wrote it and thinking I was editing it as I was reading it? Many apologies, said John. Okay. And Chuck says, of course we must be prudent, but I continue to be amazed that we spend so much worry on this hypothetical threat when every year thousands are killed by guns and more by cars. Maybe we should just get used to terrorist threats in the same way we have with guns and cars. Hoy says, just a thought, a sense of caution is good, a sense of fear is not. Okay. And John says, of the terror app, this just seems like a terrible idea. The people who are going to install that app either are overly cautious, nervous people in general, or because they are kids who are just going to send...
No. It's the same one.
That was the same one. Yeah. Okay. Yikes. But I stopped.
You did.
I wasn't going to read it.
Okay. Right.
Okay, so that's it. That was the same John. Okay, so now back to the beginning. Okay, and then Michael says, all right.
The Alpha and the Omega. Ay, caramba.
Can you put him through your...
If the pilots parachuted into Syria, obviously they were not in Turkish airspace. No, not then. You know how long it takes a plane to get from Syria, from Turkey to Syria? About 2.5 seconds. So, you know, this fellow, Michael is saying, if they parachuted into Syria, then they weren't over Turkey. Wrong?
Well, we shall see. We'll find out.
No, obviously, you can get from the Turkish border to into Syria very quickly in a jet. You know what I mean?
True. No, you're right.
Thank you for that. Raymond.
You're right.
We're good? Okay.
I think that's...
I'm sorry. I'm just corresponding with the Museum of Broadcasting. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, no, I think that's... I think... wait a second. Bill says, I just got back from 4 days in New York City, stayed right in Times Square. While there was a noticeable increase in security, we never felt threatened, scared, or that we were living in a militaristic state. We have to go on with our lives.
Well, there is that point where you come out of the bus station, come out of the airport, and you see the guys with the assault rifles and our National Guard.
In military fatigues, guard.
Sure, and you think, okay, well, that's, you know, I don't know. It's a little creepy, but by the same token, it does make you feel good that they're there and they're ready and that precaution has been taken.
You've been to football games since 9/11. And, you know, you go down to the Meadowlands and the Jersey Troopers are right there and they're checking you out. And then you can still go in and get drunk and scream at Eli and it's the same as always.
It is the same as always.
God bless America.
If you think about it for a second, I'm sorry to put the damper on this. But if a guy with a belt gets off the subway and walks into the crowd, what's a guy with an M1 going to do about that? You know what I'm saying?
Shoot him.
Well, how is he going to see it? But don't you see?
Well, I mean, that's that kind of paranoia is exactly what our detractors would like us to be.
Well, these guys are willing to die, you see. They know they're going to blow themselves up.
Right, you're right.
Don't you see?
I mean, if someone is willing to, anywhere, any place, anytime, willing to do that, we're all vulnerable to that. And the idea is that more saner people will reign. And so far, that's been the majority of what's going on by a great amount. It's an aberration when someone does that, and we can't live our life just anticipating a very rare aberration from the
norm. Well, I can. I'm not going to Times Square.
Okay. No one's requiring you to.
Go see Elmo. Get your picture taken.
Mean Elmo.
Yeah, Mean Elmo.
Or the Naked Cowboy.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
Support comes from Adams Fairacre Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger. Fresh seafood, Hereford beef, farm fresh produce, local and imported cheeses, specialty groceries, adamsfarms.com. Hummingbird Jewelers, Rhinebeck, bringing the Hudson Valley a curated selection of handmade fine jewelry, specializing in on-premises custom design, repair, and restoration services since 1978. Hummingbirdjewelers.com. And Hudson Valley Foot Associates, podiatric physicians and surgeons treating foot problems with offices in Ulster, Dutchess, Columbia, Green, Orange, Delaware counties, and now in Albany. HVFA.com.
Dysfunction can explain many things in Albany, Ray. Yeah.
Welcome to Studio A.
In various meanings and ways, it cannot, however, be an excuse for illegal behavior. That idea was at the center of the government's closing argument on Monday in the three-week corruption trial of Assemblyman Sheldon Silver, the former speaker who was once one of the most powerful politicians in New York State. The trial is closing. Mr. Silver's lawyers have argued vigorously that his actions over the years were perfectly legal and that conflicts of interest were unavoidable for lawmakers.
I think they were legal for years. I think the state legislators, and I'm very angry at the good ones, not the bad ones, have purposely passed laws in which it was not illegal to use their influence. And everybody knows it's a den of corruption and a great cesspool. And the problem really is that the Supreme Court of the United States either knowingly or unknowingly has gone along with the whole thing and said the theft of honest services law was too broad and you have to prove a quid pro quo. In other words, speaking into a microphone, hey, I'll do this if you send me this client. Okay, that's called a bribe. And that's a quid pro quo. And the question in the Silver trial is, do they have that smoking gun?
Andrew Goldstein, an assistant United States attorney, told jurors in Federal District Court of Manhattan on Monday that they must reject the argument that all of this was perfectly legal, quote, to taint your fellow legislators and the democratic process with your own corruption and say that that's politics as usual is not even close, not by a mile, said Mr. Goldstein. This, ladies and gentlemen, was bribery. This was extortion. This was corruption. The real deal. Do not let it stand.
That's why I love Preet Bharara, because even if no conviction comes out of this, and by the way, you got 12 people sitting on a jury, one guy, one person
what's gonna happen.
Says no, and I'm just going to suspect that's going to be what happens, says no. But Bharara has had his way. He has opened up the cauldron. He has showed everybody what this is once more. Many of us knew what it was, but this is really something. It's been a hell of an eyeful.
Well, I would have thought, just looking at the testimony and reading the stories every day about this trial, that it would have been an easy case for the prosecutors to prevail. But having seen two trials of State Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno, former State Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno, here in Albany in federal district court a few years ago, makes you realize how big a test it is to prove that there's a quid pro quo. And it can't just be, I happen to benefit by the actions I took as a legislator, I personally benefited. That's not enough, apparently. In the case of Bruno, he had certain contracts with private businesses, and he was also taking legislative action that benefited these private businesses.
But and then there was the horse.
Right, right. And then there was the horse that the value was in dispute of the horse that he sold. But the question is, if I, as a legislator, vote on a bill, and I, as a private businessman, which I'm allowed to be under the law, and when you have a part-time legislature, if I'm benefiting from that bill's, when that bill is enacted, my business benefits from it. It's a tax cut or it's some other advantage for my business. Is that against the law? And that's what Silver's attorneys are arguing. They're saying it's perfectly legal. Of course, the prosecution, the U.S. attorneys are saying when you earn outside income in exchange for official action, that's a bribe. So that's why they used a PowerPoint. Did you see that, Joe? They used a PowerPoint to go through for the jurors to show them exactly what was going on. And I guess the judge will charge the jury today and tell them what they can consider and what they can't consider.
You're going to need 12 people sitting there, not one of whom.
Do you think we'll have a verdict quickly, or will it
That's a great question.
Was it timed to bring this right up to the eve of Thanksgiving so
good
that jurors might be under pressure to get out?
Yeah, but does that help?
I don't know.
Which side does that help if they're,
I don't
if they're
know.
Quick?
I think if you're a holdout, it puts more pressure on you from the others to cave in and go along with the majority.
That's a good point.
The defense, I think, was brilliant in some aspects. And in one of them, they pointed out that if the doctor involved in this case believed he would get benefits, that doesn't – basically, it takes two to tango.
And they kept asking him.
But there was a high and mighty benefit. It was more research money to support his research.
Sheldon Silver, in other words, if the doctor believes he would curry favor by doing these things, but there wasn't a quid pro quo, and Shelley Silver says, well, gosh, I didn't have any intention of giving any. There was no.
What the doctor did in exchange, this is what the prosecution says. In exchange for the state funding for his research, he sent patients to Silver's law firm so that they could sue asbestos companies, for the suffering that they had from the illnesses they incurred from asbestos. And in return, Silver got millions of dollars from his firm as essentially for sending business their way.
And remember that Silver asked the doctor to send them the patients.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not have been.
Well, that might be the smoking gun.
Yeah, well,
right, but it's clear this doctor wasn't in the belief that he was. I believe what he's saying. He was doing some great research. He was securing state funding, and it was for a good cause,
and
also helping
job.
These victims.
Yeah.
Get compensation for their injuries. So to him, it was above board. To Silver, it was a quick rich. Get rich scheme, according to the prosecutor.
Again, I want to repeat just one more time very quickly that I think that state laws have to be strengthened. And I do blame the so-called, quote, good legislators, who everybody's always defending, because they haven't got the guts, to strengthen the law.
Well, that's why this is being argued in federal court under a, theft of honest services.
That's exactly right.
Which is a lot more difficult to prove than just, it's against the law to do this, don't do it. And we don't have laws that say that in New York,
and we
need
don't,
them.
And we don't, Mike, have laws that say that, because these legislators, I want to be careful about what I say here, but these legislators are gutless. They don't want to take on the man who will give them an extra desk or an extra secretary.
And who was that for the last 30 years?
Yeah, right.
So what's your prediction?
I have no prediction. I keep thinking of my cousin who got thrown in front of the subway train, broke all kinds of bones, survived years ago, got out, and one person on the jury refused to convict the lady that they had gotten. And what was her rationale? She said Jesus told her to throw the guy in front of the railroad train, the cousin in front of the railroad train. The point being that, you know, when they asked her about that, she said, well, if that's what she said, then that's what happened.
Right. A jury can make one. A jury can nullify what the prosecutor says or what the judge orders. They can ignore facts and do whatever they want.
That's why the voir dire or the questioning of the jury is so important.
We just have about 4 or 5 minutes left. I want to talk about two stories. First of all, proposed drone regulations. Apparently, when you look at what is the most asked for gift on people's list this holiday season, it is a drone.
Yeah.
Hey, have you guys ever seen a drone where you've been in public?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where have you seen one?
Washington. There's in the park. You see
Washington
Mountain
Park.
You see
right.
Mountain you Troy.
See, yep. I saw one at the Gazette, the Daily Gazette holiday parade in downtown Schenectady the other night.
Terrific.
It was just flying right over everybody's head down State Street. I mean, if the thing got out of control, it would have gone down.
Hey, look, I'm against it.
Yeah.
We have them down at the fairgrounds. They go and fly them. So they're remote control flying machines, and they're easy to get. So on Monday, the Federal Aviation Administration, scurrying to prepare for the hundreds of thousands of more drones flying into the air, released a list of recommendations for how to better monitor recreational use of the machines. Under the proposal, most drone owners would have to register the machines with the federal government, which would place the information in a national database, the first such requirements.
Said recommendation. That's not rule.
Well, there'll be an organization called the NDA, the National Drone Association, which is going to oppose these databases and argue that it's your personal right to fly your drone anywhere you like, and it was protected by the Constitution.
And how high are they allowed to go and bring down an airplane?
And by the way, the FAA is expected to approve all of these
within a few weeks,
just in time for Christmas.
Certain distance of airports, you can't be up close to airplanes.
Right.
There's all kinds of rules. And you can't use them commercially without FAA approval. That's why they're not being used for journalism. They haven't really authorized journalists to use them. It's amateur photography. Very limited steps.
I was at a baseball game at the Joe, mm-hmm. and the TV crew had one. There will be 400,000 of these given on Christmas and Hanukkah this year. So at some point, you probably need to. I mean, look, during the CB craze of the 1970s, the FCC said, "Okay, there's no test, but you gotta get a license."
Mm-hmm.
Just because there were millions of these RF transmitters around. So on one side, you could certainly see that. Well, maybe we should have a little token license that you would have to get for something like this.
Well, what they're also looking for, some people are arguing, Senator Chuck Schumer has advocated for, is some kind of a electronic ID on the drones. So if you're sitting in your backyard and there's a drone kind of flying overhead, say you have teenage daughters at the pool sitting in their bikinis and there's a drone flies overhead, you might feel that that's a violation of your privacy. There should be a way that you can track that and find out what their ID number is and report that, and they would be perhaps ticketed or held responsible for violating your trespassing.
I'm against it. Take all the drones away and stop them.
I mean,
I think it's toothpaste out of the tube, isn't
it?
Right?
I believe
people have been
with
flying
400,000 of them given away this year.
People have been flying helicopters and model airplanes forever. These are just much better. I'm kind of irritated that when I had model airplanes, it didn't have gyroscopic
balancing.
GPS and a camera.
Yeah.
High-resolution camera.
Let's just wait and see what happens when and if, and it will happen. There's a disaster with one of these things.
What kind of disaster?
Well, the fear is that someone will use it to
hurt somebody.
Yeah, someone will use it deliberately to drop a bomb or
it already
fire
took
a gun.
Enrique Iglesias' finger off.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think that's a more of a concern than drop danger. How much of a payload they
were at,
can they
like
carry?
At a concert, and the thing was coming in, and he went to go bat it
You're
away.
You're kidding
and
me.
The propeller came in and took him.
Oh, he was giving the concert, and that's when he did it? Wow. That's something.
Somebody in the audience was
right
then
and there. That's enough.
Oh, I think that anyone on stage in an open air, theater, stadium should carry a baseball bat.
I'm against it.
All right, we're out of time. Here's.
Well, as long as Rosemary's not here, I got to play the part.
Yes.
Thank you very much. We'll be here tomorrow for pre-holiday. Oh, Ray, you won't.
No.
We'll have a lovely Thanksgiving.
Ah, well, happy Thanksgiving.
He'll be here. He just won't be on the panel.
Praise God.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.